The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Ravindra Shupabhu on the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, Text 40 through 42, on August 19th, 2001, in Philadelphia.
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So our reading this afternoon from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, we are on chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute. And we have, today we've arrived at text number 40. But the next three texts are all linked together, so I think we'll do three, 40, 41, and 42, which will bring us to the conclusion of chapter 10. So we have text 40 on the board behind me. If you've not been here before, our procedure is that we first chant this mantra, the shloka, in Sanskrit. Of course, it's originally written in Devanagari script, so it's been transliterated into Roman alphabet with some special diacritic marks, so that all of us, even if we can't read Devanagari, we can still chant this shloka. So what I'll do is, first of all, I'll say each word, or sometimes two words together. You say it after me, and then we do each pada, each line, responsibly. So Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text 40. So say after me. Translation. O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As stated in the Vedic literature, although the opulences and energies of the Supreme are understood in various ways, there is no limit to such opulences. Therefore, not all the opulences and energies can be explained. Simply a few examples are being described to Arjuna to pacify his inquisitiveness. I'm going to go ahead and read the next text 41. Yad yad vimutimam sattvam shrimat urjitam eva va tad tad eva vagaccha tvam mamatejam sasambhavam. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. Prabhupada writes, any glorious or beautiful existence should be understood to be but a fragmental manifestation of Krishna's opulence, whether it be in the spiritual or material world. Anything extraordinarily opulent should be considered to represent Krishna's opulence. And now, finally, text 42. Atava bahuna tena kimjnate natavarjuna vishtabhayam idam kritsnam ekam shena stito jagat. Translation. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. So again, let me read Prabhupada's purport. This one's a little longer than the others. The Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universes by His entering into all things as the Supersoul. The Lord here tells Arjuna that there is no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as Supersoul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, or on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them. There is a mission that regularly propounds that worship of any demigod will lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Goal. But worship of demigods is thoroughly discouraged herein, because even the greatest demigods like Brahma and Shiva represent only part of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. He's the origin of everyone born, and no one is greater than him. He is Asamurdva, which means that no one is superior to him and that no one is equal to him. In the Padma Purana, it is said that one who considers the Supreme Lord in the same category with demigods, be they even Brahma or Shiva, becomes at once an atheist. If, however, one thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna, and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the Supersoul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their minds in Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. Therefore, they are always situated in the transcendental position. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter in verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. How can one attain the highest devotional perfection of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been thoroughly explained in this chapter. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushana, great Acharya in disciplic succession from Krishna, concludes his commentary on this chapter by saying, Yatschaktileshat suryadya bhavanti ati ugra tejasaha yatam shena dittam vishvamsa krishno dasamerchute. No, excuse me, dasamerchyate. From Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power, and by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is worshipable. And then it says, thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 10th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the opulence of the Absolute. So the text again, I'll just read them in English. O mighty conqueror of enemies, there is no end to my divine manifestations. What I have spoken to you is but a mere indication of my infinite opulences. Know that all opulent, beautiful, and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor. But what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nivishesha Sunyavari Paschatsate Satarane Om Angyanam Timuram Dasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chaksu Runmilitam Jainam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanchakalpa Trubhyasta Kripa Sindhu Bheva Chakapipanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So in this chapter it has concluded with a long list of wonderful things, impressive things in the material world. The material world is full of impressive, interesting, and wonderful manifestations. And naturally, we get interested in them because they are, in fact, interesting. And sometimes we spend our whole lives thinking about them and investigating them. So So Krishna has explained at the end, Arjuna has said, tell me about your opulences. This word vibhuti is being used all the time. Your opulences, your very powerful, impressive manifestations that are manifestations of you in this universe. The word is used in verse 42, vibhuti mat sattvam, splendid or magnificent beings. And so then he begins his list. He says, I'm just going to tell you a little bit. And then he ends also, this is just a sample. And he begins by saying that he's the super soul. He begins by saying, Aham Atma Sarvabhuta Shayastitaha. I am the super soul situated in the heart of all living entities, the soul of all souls. This body has a soul, but all the souls together, they have a super soul, Paramatma. We are Atma, but Krishna is Paramatma. Upadrasta Anamanta. This is explained later on in the Bhagavad Gita. The overseer, Upadrasta, and the permitter. We are all linked together because we are the super soul. And then he ends, Eka Amshena Stito Jagat. Eka Amshena. You should know that by one piece of Amsha, means like a little piece, a piece of myself, I am pervading this universe. That Amsha, Eka Amsha, that is a piece of Krishna, that's expansion of Krishna, that super soul. You may notice that most people, at least in most religions, when they think of God, that's their highest conception, the super soul. The one who sees everything, Upadrasta, and who permits, allows, gives the benedictions. So when we understand how Krishna is controlling as the super soul this material energy, how powerful he is. The whole universe is running and operating by the virtue of this Paramatma. So this Paramatma is the Bhagavan, but the Lord, but only insofar as he's running or dealing with this material energy. And so that's mostly people's idea of God. And so when they're praying, give me this, give me that, please don't let this happen, please make that happen, this is that idea, the Lord who's controlling the material energy, because people are mostly involved with the material energy. They have no knowledge of the internal, the spiritual world, the internal potency of the spiritual world. So they only think of God. But this aspect of God is only the partial, Eka Amsha, the expansion. The super soul is obviously not the highest idea of God, because the idea of God as being great means he's something more than just the order supplier for the living entities. Sometimes people, they only think of God as when he's convenient for me. But simply just to be that order supplier, you give your wish list and pray to God for it. There's something more to God. So that's why we can understand that this concept of Paramatma is not that God is greater than just that. And therefore, at least in the Vedic literature, we know about Bhagavan. The Absolute Truth is known in three features, as all-pervading Brahman, Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence of light, as Paramatma, as the soul of the universe, and also the super soul in our hearts, heart of every being. But then as Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, the Lord, as he is engaged with his spiritual, his internal potencies. Internal potency means like Radharani, Radha Krishna, or Sita Ram, or Lakshmi Narayan. These are the Lord's internal spiritual potencies. As Bhagavan, he's not involved with the material world. For dealing with the material world, there's his Eka Amsha. That's who's taking care of that. But this Ekamsha is very powerful. And there are so many worlds, so many universes. So he begins by saying, I am the super soul, and then he goes through among radiant things. What's the most radiant? That is the sun. Among the nakshastras, the luminaries at night, what's the most? He is the moon. So all different categories of things. Of the devatas is Indra. Among the indriya, the senses, he's the manas, he's the mind. And so on. In this way, all kinds of, among bodies of water and the ocean. So what's the of immovable things? I'm the Himalayas. Of trees is Ashwata, the banyan tree, because one tree can become a forest. Just one tree, like that. Of the Devarshis, he's Narada, the Gandharvas, Chitra. So what's the point is that we see in the material world, we see anything that has extraordinary, he lists these things, that has extraordinary, beautiful, or glory, or power. Vibhuti, Srimat, Urjitam, these things. You should understand, where does this come from? Where does this beauty and power and splendor come from? Know that this is a reflection of what's there in Krishna. This way, if we, so the, how to think of Krishna means that when we see anything in this universe that is impressive, if we're a devotee, we should immediately think of Krishna. A materialist, when they see something beautiful and impressive, they think, oh, that's all in all, it's by itself, and I'll just think of that and forget God. So, you know, there are many beautiful women, and people look at Marilyn Monroe. So if a devotee sees a picture of Marilyn Monroe, oh, she gets that beauty from Krishna. That's a big... So, actually, if we're Krishna conscious, it means everything reminds us of Krishna. But especially if we see anything in the world that is beautiful, powerful, or wonderful. When Prabhupada remarks that when Krishna says, I am the taste in water, and the Bhagavad Gita said that the water has this quality of taste, so Krishna is that taste of water. That means that when we are tasting the flavor that water, we should, a devotee said, thank you, Krishna, you've quenched my thirst. Here I am thirsty, and Krishna is so wonderful. He has made this substance water. I drink it. I relish it. And one time Prabhupada even told a man who confessed to him that he was addicted to alcohol. He said, you should think that what you like in that alcohol, that power, that intoxicating power, think that that comes from Krishna. So even any person, no matter even a very degraded, materialistic person, they can remember Krishna in this way. So Krishna is here. So this way, for anybody, even somebody who's very much absorbed in the material world, if they can understand that these things come from Krishna. So if you think you see some beautiful sunset, you know, oh, look what Krishna's done. He's made the sunset. And then you should think, but if this is just a fragment of Krishna's power, how powerful is Krishna? If this material world has so many beautiful things, then I can just imagine how much more beautiful is that from which they have come. And so if we train our minds in this way, gradually we appreciate Krishna more and more. And actually, as we appreciate Krishna and understand who Krishna is, we fall in love with Krishna. Because actually, if you know Krishna, you will love Krishna. You cannot help. Because everything that is attractive, that is there in Krishna. This word that we use, Bhagavan, means one who has bhaga. Bhaga also means opulence. And Parashara Muni has defined these opulences as six. Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. These are the six opulences. Aishwarya, Yasha, so these are the things, actually, if you look at it, that make someone attractive. Everybody knows that if somebody has money, they have friends. They're attractive immediately. Just that wealth is attractive. And conversely, there's an old American blues song. The name is "Nobody Is Your Friend When You're Down and Out." That down and out means when you have no money. Nobody is your friend. But if you have money, then so wealth is attractive. We have to admit that. Even people don't like to admit it, but it's a fact. So if somebody is wealthy, if they're powerful, immediately they'll also become attractive. Sometimes you see, at least in the West, these politicians, powerful politicians, they may be little ugly men, but still women come because they have power. So if someone has power or strength, that's also attractive. Beauty is naturally anybody, extraordinarily beautiful, good-looking person immediately. There's that. Fame, also somebody's famous, that's also attractive. The definition of celebrity, the famous definition of celebrity: somebody who is famous for being famous. But people like that, they have no other opulence but fame. You don't even know why they're famous, but somehow they're famous. And you hear, even they're famous for a crime, or some horrible thing, people still come to see, because it's attractive. Wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge. And renunciation, that's one we don't see so much anymore, so it's not high on anybody's list. But you can imagine, say you're somebody who's the wealthiest person, beautiful, they have all good things, all other opulences, but still they're not attached. And if you know this person, you see them, they're actually not attached, then you become, very attractive quality, actually. Renunciation. Detachment from these things. Even though so much is there, still. People are very impressed when they see it. They walk away from all these things. So these are the things. So Bhagavan means one who has these six in full. Therefore, the word Krishna also means different things, but one thing is all attractive. There's a Sanskrit verbal root, Krish, with a root meaning to pull, or to even use for plowing, Krishi Goraksha, the plowing. So Krishna, he attracts everybody. He's all attractive because he has this six opulence. So you can imagine. So whatever you see here, this is a little reflection of what is there. And so if you're a devotee, you could study this list, and so every time you see something, you can think, this is so powerful, wonderful. Even he says, Mrityu Sarva Haras Chaham, I am all devouring death. Death is very powerful. Maybe we don't like it, but at the time of death, everybody bows down, don't they? Who gets that universal recognition by death? Everybody has to become humble in front of death. That death is powerful representation of Krishna. So they speak, and he says Teja Amsha. He uses this word there from, Teja means my power or splendor, Amsha, a spark of my splendor. And then he says, I've given you all this detailed knowledge, but you should understand that I am pervading Vistabhya, this entire universe, by Eka Amsha, by this super soul feature of Krishna. But we should understand these things. Krishna has explained himself. This chapter 10, very nice, has very, very nice things in here. That Krishna has said. Different ways to appreciate him. Prabhupada wants to make the point that's established here, these vibhudimat sattva, these things that are spark of Krishna's splendor, vibhudimat sattva includes all the other devatas. That's clear from this. All other devatas. The devatas, they're very oppressive. Also, we can imagine on this planet we see some powerful Ishwaras, they're controllers. But the real Ishwaras are the bureaucrats that run the universe. Huh? And just like we have a government, the powerful people in government, but there's also universal government. And they're running things. Of course, a modern view of the world is very impersonal. They think everything is just running, there are no people in control. But the Vedic understanding is that the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person, and there are people everywhere. So the universe is also running by personal supervision. Like the city of Philadelphia runs in an organized way. We have, you turn a switch and light comes on, electricity is coming. You turn the faucet, water is coming. You flush the toilet, the waste goes away. So there's all these systems. People are coming, picking up the garbage. Roads are being made and repaired. And for each one of these, there's a person. And we know what happens if there is no person. Everything goes to hell. Your electricity is not working. You get on the phone. Why is there no electricity? Nobody's answering the phone. There's just some stupid machine. Voicemail. You can't get a hold of anybody. You want to talk to a person. And then you want to get it fixed. Say, who's in charge? I want to talk to who's in charge. Nobody's in charge. It doesn't work. So the universe the same way. Who's in charge? So there are many departmental supervisors on different levels. But one is unique, that is Krishna. He's the supervisor of all supervisors, and there's no one over him. So he's in a different category because he's the absolute truth. He's the absolute truth. So it is not a fact that although there are many devatas, any one of them, worshipping any one is as good as worshipping Krishna or Vishnu. At least this is what the Bhagavad Gita teaches. If you have to be honest, if you accept the Bhagavad Gita, like if you go back to the 7th chapter, Krishna has struck this very, very clearly. It's not so hard to understand because Krishna speaks this Bhagavad Gita in fairly simple language, and he says in the 7th chapter, he describes someone who has knowledge, because the 7th chapter is described as giving knowledge of the Absolute. And so he says, Bahunam Janmanam Ante Jnanavan Mam Prapadyate. If someone is searching through for knowledge by studying the Vedas, so on, a philosopher, a seeker of the truth, after many births, because it's difficult, so usually you have to keep going at it for several births, Bahunam Janmanam Ante, at the end of many births, Jnanavan. Now we're talking about somebody who has Gyan. Huh? Gyanavan. What does the Bhagavad Gita say the sign of this Gyan is? Huh? Mam prapadyate. You know this word, prapadyate? He surrenders to me. Prapad. Fall down. In front of. Huh? He surrenders to me. Vasudeva sarvam iti. He says, Vasudeva, which means Krishna. Another name, Krishna, is Vasudeva, because his father is Vasudeva, so Krishna is Vasudeva. Vasudeva, sir. Krishna is everything. Just like we're seeing how everything comes from Krishna, so one sense, Krishna is everything. But then it says, Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. This Mahatma is a very special Mahatma, a rare Mahatma. Sudurlabha, very rare Mahatma. So having established what it means to have knowledge, Krishna then goes on very clearly and describes what it is means not to have knowledge. Kamais taistair hittagyana prapadyante anya devata. You see? Same word is used here, prapadyante, this is plural. Those, hittagyana, the same word, jnana is there, but hittagyana, those who have been deprived of knowledge, hittagyana, stolen away, their knowledge is gone. Kamais taistair, because they have many desires, material desires, kama. Prapajyante, they surrender, not like the Jnanavan, mam prapajyate, but this prapajyante, to whom? Anya devata, to other gods. And they follow the rules and regulations and worship them according to their own nature. And then Krishna goes on to discuss that actually, when they are worshipping this devata, Krishna, who's in their heart as the super soul, gives them the shraddha, their steadiness, the steady faith, so that they can carry on that worship. And that devata, he may give them their benediction. But Krishna says, but actually I'm giving the benediction, this devata is just my agent. He also gets his benediction from me to give. Because Krishna is the source of everything. If I give a benediction to somebody, like my son comes and he wants some money, so I take it out of my wallet, but then my wallet is reduced. So where do I get my money from? Well, my son thinks, well, you're out of money. You go to that machine and you punch it in and the money comes out. So that money is coming from somewhere else, from the bank. But then to get my money, I have to get from some employer or somebody has to give it to me. And then we find out that people are getting money because ultimately they are working. And usually they're working, they're producing some goods or services. The goods or services are partly based on some material products. Maybe there's oil coming out of the ground or some minerals or fruits or vegetables that they're buying and selling or something like that. Or I'm working, that means energy that I have, I'm using my energy. But that energy, where does that come from? Well, because it comes from the fruits and the food that I eat. So you trace it all back, you find that this energy is coming from natural resources. I don't actually produce it myself. Somehow or other I have access to it. I can eat and I have energy to work. Or I have some natural resources I can utilize and exploit and develop. Those resources, natural resources, means they're coming from the devatas. They're in charge of the different departments, the heat department, the light department, the water department, the food department. They're coming from the devatas. And where do they get it from? Ultimately, you have to go back. They also are dependent. And ultimately, according to the Vedas, you come to one unique being who's supplying everybody else, but who doesn't require any other supplies. This is why it says in the Upanishads, nitya nitya nam chetanas chetananam. There's one being among all other beings. One special being, nitya, nityanam. We're also nitya, but there's one singular nitya, chetanas chetananam, one singular consciousness among many, many conscious beings. Eko bahunam yovididati kaman. That one is supplying all the necessities for the many. That one that is described, Om Purnam Madapunam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachate. How can this one be supplying? Because he's so Purna that even if you take away Purna, he's so complete that if you take away 100%, he still has 100%. If I were that person, I'd take my wallet, I'd give money and money and money, and it would stay full. But I'm not that person. This is Krishna. He gives and he gives and he gives and he remains complete. That's the unique being. Nobody else is like that. Everybody else is on the receiving end. And what they get, they give. What they give, they get from Krishna. They get from Krishna. So he is that. Krishna is that absolute truth. Because also in this 10th chapter, this is confirmed also by Arjuna. Earlier on, he has said this, Param Brahma. You are the Param Brahma. Not just Brahma, but Param Brahma. He gives his understanding. Krishna has explained a little about himself. And so he has given his judgment. So, Param Brahma, Param Dhamam, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavam, Purusham, Dasatam, Divyam, Adidevam, Ajam Dibhu. He says these things about Krishna. And he says, you have said this, but also the other rishis, Devarishi, Narada, Asita, Devala, Vyas, not just me, and I'm not just saying these things also, but all the great rishis, they say you are unique, not just Deva, but Adideva, Vibhum, the great. Well, this is Krishna's position. At least this is what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. He's unique. This does not mean that we disregard devatas. The greatest devotee of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, when he went on tour on India, he went to and offered respects at the temples of Lord Shiva and so on. Because we also understand that Lord Shiva, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, it says in Bhagavatam, that among Vaishnavas, Shambhu, Shiva is the greatest. So there's no distraction. There's no distraction from Krishna to worship Lord. At least if you're a Vaishnava, Lord Shiva, he reminds us of Krishna. Just like sometimes Christian people, they have this problem with us. They see that I am worshipping my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, just like God. And they say, oh, you're worshipping something else. No, but he doesn't distract me. Because spiritual master means that person who reminds us of God very much. As soon as I think of Srila Prabhupada, I think of Krishna. He's Krishna's devotee. So Krishna's devotees are also worshipable. Because they remind us of Krishna. And actually Lord Shiva has said about Krishna that anyone who says you cannot worship Krishna directly, you have to worship Krishna's devotees. Krishna will not accept it directly. He who is my devotee is not my devotee, but he who is the devotee of my devotee, him I accept as my devotee. So this is not distraction. So the devatas, they're also great devotees of Krishna. So we don't, but you should not worship them separately. Not separately. All the benedictions ultimately are coming from Krishna. And so we see that, for example, the gopis in Vrindavan, they were worshipping Katyayani. Please give us Krishna as our husband. Because that's what they, at a certain time, the girls would do this. They worship Katyayani, Devi, for getting a husband. Please give us Krishna as our husband. So all of these you want to you can worship Ganesh, please remove all the obstacles in devotional service. And by his removal of obstacles, people are worshipping him, to them certainly one can worship him in this way. And we go to Vrindavan, we worship, there's a very famous temple of Shiva there. Because he's the protector of the Dham. Gopa Vrindapal, he's the protector of all the gopis also. I know holy dog, Gopeshwara, temple of Gopeshwara, Lord Shiva. So this is, we are not neglecting them at all in this matter. And actually, if you worship the source, if you worship Krishna, everyone is satisfied. It's like you pour water on the root of the tree, the limbs and the branches become satisfied. So in this way, Krishna's position is unique. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching. Krishna's teaching in the Bhagavad Gita, when you understand the Vedas, you become Gyanavan, then you surrender to Krishna. Then you surrender to Krishna. Vedais Chisaravaham Eva Vedyaha. He says, all the Vedas are just searching after me. None of us today, we have time to study all the Vedas. Like in the old days, they would study the Vedas 3 times, 6 times, come to the conclusion. We don't have time. This is the modern world. We're all too busy. So that's why Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita for people of this age. You want to understand what is the Siddhanta, what is the meaning of the Vedas? Krishna says, Vedaisya sarva aham eva vedya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Take his word for it. You won't find any better authority. So that's also Krishna's position is established here in this 10th chapter. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.